live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Up, beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is February 24th 2021, and I have to start off today's Current Sports by saying, was I completely wrong or what? I'll be the first to admit it, folks. Those who tuned in just 24 hours prior to this show, to the Tuesday edition of Current Sports, when we previewed last night's Michigan State and Illinois men's basketball matchup, I did not think Michigan State had a shot. And I'm in the majority in saying that. I did not believe that the Spartans had what it takes to knock off the number 5 team in the nation in Illinois, a team that is just immersed with so much talent, from Ayo Dosunmu to Kofi Coburn to Trent Frazier. That team has so much talent, number 5 team in the nation, playing a Michigan State team that has been not treading water, but sinking throughout most of this year. I always say this, man, around this time of the year, though. When March is knocking on the door, Tom Izzo, more times than not, he is able to tap into some kind of basketball wizardry. Some kind of elite coaching magic that allows his team to be uber competitive when the big dance is looming. Michigan State got the job done last night. I didn't think it was going to be a close game. I had Illinois winning big. And boy, oh boy, was I wrong. That's one thing about me. I will man up and tell you I was wrong, folks. So that will be the foundational topic of today's Current Sports. You'll hear from Coach Izzo and company later on this hour. But I want to talk about how this happened. And we can ponder the chances of Michigan State making the NCAA tournament as well. Before I do that, though, I have to get this off my chest because I was getting ready to head out and run some errands yesterday afternoon. Had a little break in between stories and on deadlines. And I was about to hop in the shower. And I kid you not, right before I got in the shower, the phone goes off. And you know, like 2021 is, man, we get so caught up in our day-to-day and you know, like our lives are in our smartphones, right? And in many ways, I believe that society today is addicted to their smartphones, including myself to a degree. And we're constantly being fed information. We're constantly taking in content, I should say. And right before I got in the shower, you know, my phone is always going off, but, you know, one particular alert went off from, I believe it was ESPN, my ESPN app, that said that Tiger Woods had been involved in a single car accident. And, you know, those who know me or have been listening to this show, Tiger Woods is on my Mount Rushmore of my childhood heroes. You know, for me, it's Michael, Bruce Lee, Tiger Woods. Then that fourth spot is kind of up for grabs. But those three are my guys. You know, you can probably Kobe Bryant, to be real with you, probably for that fourth spot. But, you know, those are my guys, man. It's greatness. And I always talk about them here on the show. When Tiger is on, I stop what I'm doing, and I will watch all four of his rounds. Tiger Woods, if he didn't play the game of golf, I probably wouldn't be such a huge golf nut the way I am. You know, I was introduced to the game courtesy of my neighbor, Mr. Ramsey, the father of my childhood, friend Carl. And, you know, he just took us out one day to go play. And, you know, I love challenging sports, challenging games, and golf is certainly that. And I fell in love with it, though, just being outside. And it's nothing like the feeling when you hit a good shot. All my golfers know that. And then that's when I really got into Tiger Woods and watching his dominance. I mean, how could this dude dominate a game that hard? And to do it as a black man, going up against all of these white guys who have historically dominated the game of golf, but a guy who looks like me out there, not just playing the game, but dominating it at a level that has never previously before seen. Fell in love with Tiger, man. And, you know, when he won the Masters in 2019, that comeback, which I believe is the greatest comeback in sports history, you know, I'm not even going to lie, I cried. Knowing everything that he went through, watching that scene when he went over and hugged his son, Charlie, reminiscent of the moment when Tiger won in 97, shattering the field, defying the odds, and Tiger hugging his father and weeping in his arms, knowing that, you know, all the hard work they put in paid off, and the racial barriers that Tiger Woods broke in that moment. We all know Tiger Woods is that guy. He is an athlete that you just don't pin to one sport. Heck, you just don't pin to sports. He is a cultural icon. And if you did not know it prior to yesterday, now you know it. Because once the news of Tiger Woods being involved in this single car crash occurred, there wasn't a news outlet that you turned to that did not have wall-to-wall coverage on this story. It just put in perspective. I already knew it. Many of us already knew it. But looking at the coverage from all of the media outlets out there, it further put in perspective just how big Tiger Woods is. And my heart immediately sank. You know, when I got that notification, I was about to hop in the shower. I stopped what I was doing. Turned off the shower head. Went to my living room. Sat on my couch. Prayed. And began to take in what I was hearing. And, you know, especially my longtime listeners know how big of a fan I am. You know, I want to give a special shout out to Stephanie and Ben, longtime listeners of the show from when I first got the gig here at WKAR. They immediately hit me up and checked on me. And I thank you guys for that. But, you know, my head was everywhere once that news broke, and it shook me just like I'm sure it shook many Tiger Woods nuts out there. And as the afternoon unfolded into the evening, and we figured out that his injuries were non-life-threatening, that's all I wanted at that point. It's all I wanted. Because it was so eerily similar. The moment was so eerily similar to that of Kobe Bryant, who we lost a little over a year ago now. So similar because, you know, in California, a crash of some form of transportation. Kobe's was a helicopter, and getting that notification, and you just praying for the best. And, you know, they said that his car, in that stretch of road that he was traveling to, he had been, you know, he was hosting the Genesis Invitational, and they had given him a Genesis car, Genesis vehicle, and TW Spot, one of the many Tiger Woods fan Instagram accounts that I follow, they had showed him actually taking a picture with that car, that same car that was shown mangled up. Yesterday, they had shown a photo of him just a couple days prior to with him, you know, walking in front of that car. Then I began to hit up Instagram even more and do some background, like, okay, who else was in contact with Tiger prior to this? And Dwayne Wade had done a promotional shoot, some kind of golf instruction segment for Golf TV with Tiger Woods, Dwayne Wade, famed basketball player. And he had posted the video to his Instagram just a day prior to. I believe Candace Parker also, because last night on NBA on TNT, Dwayne Wade had mentioned that he had flown on a plane with Candace back to Atlanta to do last night's broadcast. But you know, you start to piece things together, and then the report comes out. You know, and then they had the press conference last night at 6 p.m. Eastern time, in which you had the sheriff and the, you know, the fire department chief and the first responder who was on the scene breaking down what happened. And that stretch of road is known to have a ton of accidents. Known for it. Which for me, you know, always baffles me whenever there's an area of road that has a lot of accidents, how no change happens. Like, shouldn't there be more signs out there? Or, you know, the speed limit should be lowered. I know it's 45, but if you're still having accidents, it obviously needs to be lowered. But they said Tiger's car had hit the median and hit a curb, hit a tree, flipped over numerous times, and then came to rest. Car was absolutely totaled and mangled. You've seen the photos by now. You've seen the images by now. A neighbor called 911, notified the police. The police then notified the fire department. The first responder on the scene was Officer Gonzalez, who did an amazing job. And, you know, he was on the scene, and he recognized that, okay, Tiger is calm. And Carlos Gonzalez is his name. I want to make sure I get his full name in there. He realized that Tiger Woods was calm, and he was coherent, and he was talking. So he didn't feel the need to immediately move Tiger from the vehicle at that moment, and he could wait on other personnel to help get him out the car. Initially, it was reported that the jaws of life were used, which is like this, you know, this machine that pries open people who are stuck in cars after an accident. But they just needed like a hammer and an axe, and they pulled him through the windshield. He was not able to walk under his own power, and he was transported to the best local trauma center. You know, they didn't need to immediately get him to the nearest hospital. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't that kind of a condition that he was in. They were able to get him to the most logical place that he should be in order to get the best treatment for his injuries, which were lower leg injuries. And he went into surgery, and that's when we were all just kind of waiting on more information, right? That's when we were just kind of all just waiting. And at that point, once I just heard it, it was non-life-threatening. I was just happy that Tiger Woods was alive. That's the main thing. Whether or not he plays golf again, I don't know. This was a statement made by the chief medical officer and interim CEO at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Quote, Mr. Woods suffered significant orthopedic injuries to his right lower extremity that were treated during emergency surgery by trauma specialists at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, a level one trauma center. Open fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula bones were stabilized by inserting a rod into the tibia. Additional injuries to the bones of the foot and ankle were stabilized with a combination of screws and pins. Trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg required surgical release of the covering of the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling. Again, that's from the chief medical officer at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Then the statement went on to further read from Tiger Woods' I'm guessing his people, saying that he is currently awake. This was at 12:30 this morning. He is currently awake, responsive, and recovering in the hospital room. Thank you for the wonderful doctors and hospital staff at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and the Fire Department. Your support and assistance have been outstanding. Who knows whether or not Tiger will be able to play the game of golf again. But I tell you what, I watched the Tiger documentary on HBO when it was released, and they combed through the highs and lows of his career, and of course they brought up the scandal in which he was involved with multiple women while he was a married man, and the public apology, and then the problems with painkillers, and there was a point where, you know, and then the five back surgeries, there was a point where you didn't even know if Tiger Woods, he didn't even know if, you know, he was able if he was going to comfortably walk again. There was a moment where he couldn't walk. It was just painful to play with his kids. But there's a moment in that documentary where they start to talk about that comeback. There's a quote, I forget by who, and I'll probably have to dig that up for tomorrow's show. But dude basically says, if there's one thing we've all learned, it's never to doubt Tiger Woods. And I have no doubt that he is going to be back and that he will return to golf. And that he's going to surprise a lot of people because he is Tiger Woods. And he is not a normal human being. To steal a line from one of my favorite books of all time, Relentless by Tim Grover, who was the trainer of Michael Jordan, he separates the great athletes into three categories. closers, cleaners, and coolers. And three areas of greatness. You know, where a cooler is basically a follower and you listen to the leader and you come up in big moments. You know, a closer is a little bit more clutch, a little bit more of a leader, but it was very calculated. But a cleaner is the highest level. And that's basically an athlete who always shows up, does the extra work, doesn't have to think about it, and says, get on my back, I'm going to save the day. Cleaners aren't normal. Cleaners are aliens. Driven. That's what Tiger Woods is. He is a relentless competitor. And there's something about this that is going to awe us even more. It feels like a cinematic setup, doesn't it? At least in my eyes, it does. And he'll be back. But right now, we just got to appreciate that this man didn't lose his life because you heard those officers yesterday. They thought it was an absolute miracle that he was alive. It could have killed him. And shout out to the way vehicles are made today. You know, the airbag deploying and the front cabin of the vehicle being just about intact. That's what saved him. So I had to get that off my chest and address it, folks. Tiger Woods, that story, boy. I have more on it later on this week, but I just wanted to kind of comb through that because it was a story that jolted me, that jolted a lot of people, and the world stopped yesterday for a few hours. Okay, folks, I want to hit our first break. When we come back, we'll get back to our regularly scheduled programming. And I'll dive into some Michigan State men's basketball chatter. I'll give you my thoughts on how Michigan State was able to pull off the upset against Illinois. And you'll hear from Tom Izzo and company. We'll be right back. Beautiful people, welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Current Sports. The Michigan State men's basketball team pulled off the improbable. I didn't see this coming, not many did, but Michigan State got the win. And they knocked off the number five team in the nation. Isn't that incredible? I mean, and again, Tom Izzo, I put out a tweet and a Facebook status yesterday that said that, look, man, I don't want to hear. You know, I basically said, put some respect on Tom Izzo's name because the chatter that I have been hearing about Tom Izzo, and we hear this all the time, anytime Michigan State is struggling, Tom Izzo's lost it. What is Tom doing? And look, criticism is warranted for sure. If you make questionable decisions that lead to losses, sure, he deserves to be criticized. But to go as far as to say that, okay, we need a new coach, Michigan State needs a new coach, I thought that was totally going off the deep end. Like, you know, last night I'm talking with my fraternity brothers, who have been uber critical of him in our group message. And all that chatter, when I brought up, okay, I want to hear no more about Tom Izzo, the game leaving him, I don't want to hear no more about that at all. Only one person responded. Only one. And it was my frat brother, Justin. And he commented and said that he was still salty about the whole situation when it came to Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges and that team losing to Syracuse and having that golden opportunity to go all the way and win the NCAA tournament. And I said, look, man, you name a replacement and I'm all ears. But right now, Tom Izzo is still better than 90% of the college basketball coaches in the game today. Period. So, and the fact that when you just look at this roster, The fact that that roster has been able to upset Indiana and now Illinois, I just don't think you can count out Michigan State, man. Is the road very improbable? And ESPN was combing through the likelihood that the Spartans could make the tournament this year, and they have the probability at a 10%. I made sure I took note of that last night on SportsCenter. 10%. Because still, you know, Michigan State was able to get that win last night, but you still got Ohio State coming up tomorrow night on ESPN. And then you play number 3 Michigan twice to close out the year. And Indiana could enact some revenge come March 2nd. So it's tough, man. It is tough. But Michigan State, in these past two games, they look like a different team. They really do. I mean, there are multiple players that just look different. I mean, Aaron Henry has taken his game to another level. He is proving to be that guy right now. I stress right now because we'll see if he can keep it up. But Aaron Henry has proven to be that guy that you can depend on. If you need a bucket, you go to him. He's showing off right now. This is what we've been waiting on. This is what Aaron Henry has been waiting on since he got all that feedback from the NBA that said, hey, you need to work on this, this, and this. Aaron Henry is showing that he's capable of being great. 20 points, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 5 assists, 6 rebounds, 9 of 19 from the floor, played all but 1 minute last night. What? Yeah, 20 points to go along with 2 blocks, 2 steals, 5 assists, 6 rebounds. Insane. That's an all-around game, folks. Rocket Watts has woken up. He started at the point last night, and I think he's finally figuring out how to play the point guard position. And he's confident. That's the thing about Rocket, his body language. He's out there, head up, engaged, not getting down on himself, and he's scoring. And I wish he would use his speed more on the break. There was one time I saw him on the fast break just go straight to the hole, lightning fast. That's hard to stop. There aren't too many defenders out there that can stop that kind of speed. That's why his name is Rocket. 15 points for him last night. Also playing that point guard position, 5 assists. And like I said, Rocket Watts is also one of the best defenders on the team, probably the best defender next to Aaron Henry, best guard defender next to Aaron Henry. He also had a steal. That's what you want. And then Josh Langford. Those are the big 3. And if you want to throw in Joey Hauser, those are your big 4 who have to produce on a daily. But Josh Langford, healthy now. Knock on wood, but healthy now. He's got that mid-range jumper flowing. And also, throw in 16 rebounds for Josh Langford. He's hitting the boards. There was multiple times where Michigan State had a missed shot, and you just saw a jersey, just a white number one jersey, just fly up in the air and snag the rebound. 16 rebounds? What? To go along with 13 points. Oh, yeah, throw in 2 steals. Oh, yeah, throw in 1 block for Josh Langford. Wow, and Michigan State had a lot of blocks. Marcus Bingham had 3. Thomas Kithier had 1. Joey Hauser had 1. Aaron Henry had 2. Gabe Brown had 1. Josh Langford had 1. And I'm sure a lot of those blocks came on Kofi Coburn, the star big man for Illinois. Because Michigan State did a great job. You know, the big question I had was, okay, how do you slow down this dude? I didn't think they were going to slow him down. I thought he was going to get his and just have an amazing night like every big man Michigan State has played this season has done. But as the announcers touched upon, when you double Kofi Coburn, he usually doesn't pass out of that double team. He is going to try and overpower you and go up regardless if he has the Army, Navy, and Marines draped on his back. And that's what he did. He tried to force it. Michigan State stayed disciplined, hands up, were able to get a few blocks. You know, Marcus Bingham with three blocks because, again, he is so lengthy. He's also a seven-footer. And it was one block where, you know, he just went up and just got it. Like, nah, bruh, I'm contesting this, and you are not getting this easy. But Michigan State collapsing on him, knowing that he rarely passes out of a multiple defender situation. It was genius, and it worked. And then Ayo Dosunmu, the battle between him and Aaron Henry. Aaron Henry clearly won that battle. I mean, Ayo, yeah, his stats look sexy at the end of the day. 17 points, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 5 assists, 9 rebounds, 1 rebound shy of a double-double, 6 of 18 from the floor. But don't get it twisted. When you look at the totality of that game, Ayo Dosunmu was pretty quiet. I noted that on my Twitter feed last night, on my personal Twitter feed. I tweeted out, you know, Ayo was very, very quiet. He played the role of more of a facilitator, especially in that first half. So, and it was a very chippy game because, you know, Illinois was very frustrated while Michigan State was hungry and they were just going at it, man. I thought that, Mati Sissoko getting tossed out the game, I thought it was warranted. He came right down after Ayo didn't even have the ball in his hands. He came down hard on Ayo, hit him in the face, and Ayo was down for a while. And Matty had been getting into it he got into it with Kofi Coburn. They had like this stare down. I mean, he was showing some toughness, though. I appreciate it because that's something that we haven't seen from Michigan State this season. So I appreciate it, man. Sissoko was that guy last night. And that was like old school knockdown, drag him out basketball that I absolutely love. That game was 10 times more physical than anything I see in my NBA on a regular night. Loved it. But Michigan State is showing fight, showing grit, showing confidence, and guys are stepping up who haven't stepped up in weeks. Then there's Joey Hauser, who still has this turnover problem, but he hit some big shots last night, including that dagger of a three that pretty much sealed the deal on any hope of an Illinois comeback. Hauser was 3 of 3, 2 of 2 from deep, 5 of 6 from the free throw line for 13 points. And I'm loving this starting lineup. I think Tom Izzo may have something here with this lineup, with Marble, Gabe Brown, Henry Watson Langford. Those are the guys who have been stepping up and playing some really good basketball. I love everybody else coming off the bench. That's what you do. That was winning basketball last night. But I got to say this as well. Got to take this into account. Final score was 81-72. Do you know what Illinois shot from the free throw line? Because that was one of the biggest stories, biggest takeaways from last night as well. Illinois shot a dismal 55% from the charity stripe last night. 19 of 34. Again, I'll say it. 19 of 34. They missed 15 free throws, folks. If you miss 15 free throws on any given night, I don't care who you're playing, the chances of you winning are pretty slim. The fact that it was this close is mind-boggling to me. I mean, wow. Especially when Ayo Dosunmu went to the line. It's a 10-point game. He gets the flagrant. It was a flagrant two, so Mati Sissoko gets the boot. So you get two free throws and the ball back. Ayo missed both free throws. And then on the possession of the basketball, he gets fouled again, and he goes 1 of 2 from the line in that moment. So he goes 1 of 4 in a stretch of basketball in which he could have made it a 6-point game, and who knows what could have happened at that point. That kind of stuff kills you. And head coach Brad Underwood just pulling out his hair, so frustrated, because he's like, dude, just hit your free throws. You can see it on his face. And then there's that moment where, you know, it clearly goes off a Michigan State player. I think it was Josh Langford. And the ball goes out of bounds. It's about to go out of bounds, but it hits the referee. That should have been Illinois basketball. And what happens? Michigan State scores. I think it was on a Rocket Watts floater. Right after that, I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. I didn't think that was a great officiating moment for the Big Ten last night. And it for sure wasn't a great moment at the line for Illinois. Illinois should have won that game if they just hit their free throws. But hey, that's why you play the game. You never know, man. Sports are so unpredictable. Bottom line, Michigan State is playing at a different level right now and is getting production out of players that we've been waiting to get production out of. And they got a shot. You know what happens from here on out? I don't know. The wheels could completely fall off against Ohio State. Who knows? But right now, Michigan State is at least competing, and they are showing that they want this thing. I was impressed. What say you about the improbable victory of your Michigan State Spartans over Illinois last night? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can leave a comment right there on our Facebook page. You can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. I want to hit our final break. When we come back, you'll hear from head coach Tom Izzo and players about the big dub last night. Don't go anywhere. Back to WKAR's Current Sports. And you know what? I'm just going to play what Tom had to say last night after the 81-72 victory for Michigan State over Illinois. Here's a bit of what Izzo had to say concerning the fight of his players, concerning what's different with his team, and concerning where they can go now, moving forward, now preparing to play Ohio State. This is a gauntlet stretch of basketball for Michigan State, playing a lot of games in a short amount of time, but they have Ohio State at home tomorrow night at 9 p.m. They didn't hit the road to play Maryland. They come, well, that's on the 28th, so later on this week. And that would actually be on Sunday. And then they will host Indiana at Michigan and then at home against Michigan. So, yeah, gauntlet of a schedule. Tom Izzo will comment on that and so much more. Here he is.
All right, so I'm going to start. First of all, as always, you know, you win a game, you feel better than when you lose a game. And I think after Saturday, the way we won it, how we played, it wasn't just winning a game. I thought we played like we'd hoped to play. Two of the best players played really well. Aaron was, I thought, unbelievable. And I thought Josh was really every bit as good, just in different ways. You know, his rebounding, his defense, his leadership. Times he played the point. Aaron was phenomenal with his defense also. But
in the summer,
his aggressiveness, I enjoyed the way he played. Sorry, some of you guys aren't muted. But he did carry us Saturday as far as that goes. But that's what third and fourth year guys are supposed to do. So I look at it that we're going to need that and more in the next 2 weeks. As everybody knows, we're going to have 6 games in 13 days. It is more than an NBA schedule. The way I look at it right now, at least from the latest, which I don't know, since half the teams haven't played half the games. But if you look at it from what I've seen, all 6 teams are in. And, of course, 4 are ranked in the top 5 in the country or 6 in the country. Illinois is clearly one of the best of those teams in our league and in the country. They lost a couple games early, I think, to Baylor, who's really good. They're coming off an impressive win at Minnesota, where they won by 30. They've been on a roll. They've won 7 games in a row. You know, I think them and Michigan have an incredible streak going. Ayo and Kofi are 2 of the best players in the league. You're starting to see Ayo is getting a, you know, trying to catch the superstar from Iowa. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but at least he's among the leaders in scoring, and Kofi leads the Big Ten in rebounding. They also have very good shooters in Frazier and Miller, so they can beat you a lot of different ways. I think one of the ways is they turn you over a lot, and I think against some of those kind of teams, we've been better lately. But we're going to need a big performance out of our best players. I think if this team's going to really take a step forward, we still need to get more out of Joey. We still need to get more out of Malik, and we're working on that. Foster, again, will not play in this game. You know, not a lot better as of yesterday, but, you know, keep hoping for later on in the week to get him back. And other than that, we're excited. You know, you got an opportunity. I mean, it's strange because we play so many teams that are ranked. I mean, I've gone a whole season playing 2 ranked teams in the Big Ten. Now we're going to play 4 in a week and a half. But I think the other strange thing is we're playing some teams for the first time. Illinois for the first time this late. Maryland for the first time this late. You know, Michigan for the first time this late. And so it's going to be a hellacious couple of days with, you know, prep today, game tomorrow, prep on Wednesday, game Thursday, prep Friday, travel Saturday, play Sunday, and then the same routine. But it's also an incredible opportunity. And so we're going to look at it as the second one, that it's an incredible opportunity, and see what we can do with it.
We'll go first to Chris Solari.
Tom, with that, how do you keep these guys focused maybe on the small picture versus the big picture with that? And do you treat this at this point like one and done time in some ways?
No, that wouldn't happen here. It'd be like I should stand up here like, what's his name, dead playoffs. You know, like, are you crazy? There is no way that anybody will understand. There will not be any pressure put on these guys. They've had enough pressure put on them all year. It's going to be the Illinois game. I have in my mind, I talked to them 2 weeks ago about what I think has to happen to have a chance to get in. But as I say that, who knows what's going to happen? Who's going to get COVID? Who's going to play games? I see some teams they're putting in because they win a game. You know, I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen. So I'm sure as hell not worried about that right now. And I think that would be unfair because we have no clue. You know, it's not 18 games or 19 games like it was some year. It's not, you know, 20 games like it was back 8 years ago. You know, if you got to then, you'd be in. All I know is we got a lot of work to do. We won a game. We have great opportunities. And to be honest with you, Chris, that's what I'm focusing everything on, because these guys have been through so much this year. that, you know, we talked about situations. We talked about don't worry about streaks and this and that. It's not that kind of a season that you can do that. And so what I'm talking about is Illinois opportunity to win a game. If we win a game, we'll constantly reassess where we are.
We'll go next to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Tom. Kind of dealing with the broader question that we've been having over time about coaching this generation of athletes, how do you come off a win in Indiana that you want to celebrate, but also keeping expectations that, hey, this is what we're supposed to do? How do you kind of emphasize that to your team right now, or just in general with this next generation of athletes?
Yeah, it's as you know, there's so much of what did you do for me today in this generation, and it's a very good question that I don't really have a great answer for during this COVID time, because I think, you know, we haven't learned how to deal with it yet. But what I'm dealing with is we won a game. You're at Michigan State. You're supposed to win games. Let's learn from why we won the game. Were we more connected? Did we move the ball better? Did we play a little better defense? Did Indiana play worse? Let's look at why we won the game. And when we did that, we found a lot of positive things we did. But making shots was one of them. You know, Gabe hits four. Aaron makes shots. So when you make shots, a lot of good things happen. But I did not come back. We did not celebrate because there's nothing to celebrate. But we did. We just talked to them. You know, they, like I said, they've been through a lot. I understand that. And my approach has been completely different than a lot of years. And I still say that when you go through it during the season like we did and never know how certain guys are coming back. I mentioned it that I watched North Carolina and Louisville to my staff. And Louisville, I think, was the best defensive team in that league. And they gave up 99 points, you know, after a week of coming off COVID. And that's the parts, Lindsey, that I don't know if anybody knows, because it's different for each kid. So I'm just still trying to focus on let's get better as a team. Yeah, we're changing the lineup. Yeah, we're still looking to get better. You know what? That's the way it is. It's just the way it is. I can't apologize for it, nor can I condemn them for it. It's the reality of what we're going through. And you know, what I said to you last week and a week before was so true. We practice good. We practice like a team that has given up on themselves. That's encouraging. I could use that statement when I got back to the locker room. You played like you practiced. None more so than Rocket Watts. He had two of the best practices he's had since he's been here. And I mean, really good the 2 days before. It was, you know, it prompted everybody to say, wow. And so that's encouraging, and we're just going to try to build on it.
All right, Tom Izzo giving some thoughts on what his Spartans were able to do last night. And, you know, I love seeing the social media videos whenever Tom, you know, and his team gets a big win. You know, on the Michigan State men's basketball Instagram last night, Tom Izzo walks into the locker room and just yells and the team goes crazy. That's the kind of magic that you like to see around this time of the year. So, hey, keep hope alive, Spartan fans. That was huge last night. And, man, was I totally wrong on the outcome of that one, just like many were. Many people were idiots last night. All right, folks, that will do it for this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. You know what? Go for a walk. Try to go for a walk today. It's beautiful outside. I'm looking out my living room window right now, and the sky is blue. The sun is out. The snow is melting. It's 41 degrees. So try and get some fresh air. It's good for the mind, body, and soul, folks. All right. But have a great rest of your afternoon and evening. We'll see you on the Thursday edition of Current Sports. Be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.